And we are live,
Love
ladies and gentlemen.
Radio.
We are live. Thank you guys for being so patient with me. Once again, this is your host, Ben Shelton, and I am hosting Talk Straight tonight because Reverend Dockery has handed the keys over for me so that I can guest host it. I do appreciate your patience with me, as this is an entirely new process for me. But now that we are here, I'm glad to have you on. Tonight, we have a very special topic, once again. This is a very special topic because this topic we discussed a little bit last week, but we're going to go into more detail tonight. And I tried to limit it as much as I could last week, but we're going to go into more detail tonight about how to overcome. And this time, we're talking about how to do it consistently, how to produce overcoming. This is the topic tonight. As a community, it would be wonderful if I could have you guys call in, get on the line with me, join along, so that we can all produce and so that we can all give fruit to this conversation as we discuss how to consistently overcome. This is Talk Straight with Shelton. I am your host for the night. Once again, I appreciate you. If you are on this call or if you're on this this show tonight, it took me a little bit longer to set up due to technical difficulties, but we are here. And without being here, have a candid conversation, and we'll have a very informational, educational conversation about how to consistently overcome. That is what we're discussing tonight. And if you'd like to call in, the number is 657-383-0944. Once again, that number is 657-383-0944. And if you're joining me live on Facebook, it's good to hear you. It's good to see from you. My name is Ben Shelton. Tonight I am hosting Talk Straight on Blog Talk Radio. The link is in the description. The link is in the description of this call for this this radio show tonight. We are discussing tonight how to consistently overcome. We are wanting to understand how can we constantly produce the outcome of overcoming. So last week, just Tuesday, seemed like it was just yesterday, it happened so quick, but just Tuesday, we were discussing how to overcome. What are some of the methods that we can use? What are some of the ways that we can go about overcoming? And tonight, we are discussing how to consistently produce the action of overcoming. Tonight, I've been given the reins to host this radio show. It's been a privilege, and it is a privilege. So I would like to hear from you guys. Give me a call at 657-383-0944, or you can listen in to the Blog Talk Radio. Okay, now that we've discussed what we're going to talk about, let's actually dive into it, because we had some pretty meaty, juicy information 2 days ago. And that information was very helpful, because I believe a lot of people left the call motivated. A lot of people left the call inspired. A lot of people left the call with some good jewels. And tonight, the plan is the same. The plan is to drop some good jewels tonight. So with that being said, let's talk about what is overcoming. So like I said on Tuesday, we discussed it, but I want to actually talk about what we mean by overcoming. What are we overcoming? Well, in particular, what we're overcoming typically is adversity. When we talk about overcoming, we're typically talking about adversity. Now, we didn't say it or we didn't emphasize on it as much last week, but a couple of days ago on Tuesday, but today we're going to actually emphasize overcoming actual adversity. That's what we're overcoming. So before we discuss that, I like to do things kind of comprehensively. So let's bring to the table the definition of adversity. What is adversity? Okay? Adversity. As a noun, adversity is difficulties or misfortune. Say it again. It's difficulties and or misfortune. So adversity, difficulty, and it's misfortune. What are those things? So anytime we have difficulty and misfortune, it's usually on the path of something. So I'll give you an example. If you want to go to the store that's two blocks up the street and there's a gigantic flood in the middle of the street, but you got to go to the store to be able to go and get some food for your family. If there's a gigantic puddle of water, if there's a gigantic pool of water, if the street is flooded, that's difficult because typically you would just walk to the street. I mean, you just walk down the street, go to the store, get your food and come back home. No problems, no difficulties, no misfortune. But when there's a gigantic flood in the street, now there's something that's in our way. That becomes difficult. That makes a simple task such as walking and going to the store difficult because now you have to walk and you have to figure out a way to go around the water. You have to figure out a way to go through the water. You have to wear a vest or some. You have to readjust your strategy because your typical strategy just causes for you to just go straight. But now you don't have that luxury. So because you don't have that luxury, you got to think about something. You got to think about a different way to go around it. So when we're talking about adversity, we're talking about our lives, right? Sometimes that is somebody's individual situation. But typically when we think about adversity, we think about major decisions, not major decisions, but major events that happen in our lives that cause us some difficulty. And oftentimes they are unfortunate, as they may call it, misfortune. So how do we consistently overcome adversity? How do we consistently overcome those things that come up in our lives that are can be deemed as fortunate or that are difficult? That's what we're discussing tonight. So if you would please call in and give us your input, 657-383-0944. The lines are open, 657-383-0944. In the meantime, I'm going to give us some strategies. I'm going to lay out some things. I'm going to lay out just kind of the groundwork of how we overcome adversity. What's up, Mikey? So last week we gave personal situations. I gave a personal testimony about how I overcame adversity. And the testimony that I touched on was I was essentially unemployed after the pandemic and after working a temporary job and then working some side gigs. And pretty much my funds got depleted. Fortunately, I was able to save up, but some funds had got depleted at the time. And when those funds got depleted, I have a pregnant wife and I have two children and I have bills. I have bills to cover. I can't not cover my bills. So what did I have to do? I had to figure out a way to overcome this barrier between me and having a roof over my head and a roof over my head for my children and my wife. I had to figure out a way to overcome that potential barrier or potential adversity. And I had to figure out a way to defeat that issue or to defeat that problem. So what were some of the things that I discussed? I said, I used my resources, right? Assess the situation. What is your situation? What do you have available to you? What kind of resources do you have available to you? What kind of people do you have access to? What kind of other potential ways of income do you have to produce? What kind of assets are you currently sitting on that you could use or capitalize on at that moment? That was a method that I used to be able to overcome adversity. I assessed the situation. I looked into my resources, and I used my resources, and I applied, and I was able to, because I had saved up and I had purchased land, I was able to sell my land. Now, my land hadn't sold, you know, for quite some time, but fortunately, I was able to sell it for a price that was reasonable enough to be able to support and take care of my family for a considerable amount of time so that we was able to overcome that barrier of not having a warm house to stay in the middle of December or going into January. So that was one of the methods that I used to overcome that adversity. We have a caller on the line, 314. area code last four digits 4600. We want to hear from you. The topic is how to consistently overcome adversity. So tonight we are discussing methods. We are discussing solutions. We are discussing equations, things that anybody can reasonably do to overcome adversity. You have the floor. We'd like to hear from you. Tell us your name and give us some methods to consistently overcome adversity.
Where's Reuben?
Where's Reuben? Reuben, this week, he's taking a little break, and he has put it in the hands of me to be able to host the show tonight. My name is Ben Shelton. I am your host for Talk Straight tonight.
Oh. Well, I'm Pianki.
Can you tell us your name?
How to overcome diversity? Well, simple. Yeah. Don't let it get on top of you. Then you wouldn't have to overcome it. Well planned, thought out, due diligence, sacrifice, do unto others before they could do unto you. All good points.
Sub Leo. I love it. You gave us some pretty, you gave us a decent outline. He said, don't let it get to you, do unto others. He gave us some pretty good guidelines. If you don't mind, can you just give that to us one more time? Because I got another group that's listening currently live, and I want to be able to make sure everybody can hear it, because we're doing a community effort of how we're doing this community effort. This Tuesday, we gave some examples, some real-life examples of how we overcame adversity. But today, we're giving the guidelines, the principles, the bones of how we can consistently produce overcoming adversity.
Well, like I said before, planning, due diligence, stick to it. Go to school, get an education, get married, raise a family, a tried, true, and proven method in this country up until recent. Do unto others before they could do unto you. It's just about follow the tried, true, proved, and tested methodology and stick to it. The best way to help the poor is don't be one.
That's a good point. He said the best way to help the poor is don't be one. You know, you can't help others until you are able to help yourself first, because otherwise you're both going to ditch. It's a good point.
Absolutely.
We appreciate that feedback. We appreciate you. We have another caller on the line. 615. Last four digits, 5489. Can you give us some bones? Give us some guidelines. We're discussing tonight. We want to go comprehensively. We want to be able to take these methods and for everybody that's listening and apply these things in our lives and apply these things for our personal situation, because everybody has their own different kind of adversity. We discussed that adversity is, we gave the definition. We said adversity is, the noun for adversity is difficulties or misfortune. So we're wanting to know how to overcome these difficulties and these misfortunate events that may happen in our life. You have the floor, 615.
Yeah, how you doing? I was just calling, just listening, and decided to call again because I continued to call and I couldn't get connected. Yeah. And so now that I'm to share something that I would suggest, if anybody really have a heart and you want to see things change in the location where you are, if people are having a hard time, I don't know, I'm not everywhere, so I can only talk about where I'm located. And if they're hurting people, they can be rich or they can be poor. Poor in one area and rich in another, and vice versa. So it has to do with what a person is doing when it comes down to making a difference. And in my case, I can say on behalf of Pastor Doctor and how he has been doing the things that's necessary, so I just want to acknowledge him before I go into what I'm about to say. And also thank you for hosting the show. My name is Minister Ricky Waller, and I came from a community where I grew up in the projects in Nashville, and you know, I participated in sports, that, and just was a kid growing up, and I got captured. You know, I got captured, and I got twisted and entangled, and I couldn't get loose from a lifestyle of street life. And so I decided to strive to do something different, and I hollered for help, even though I had a lot of money. But money couldn't get me free. But when I hollered for help and then got in touch with the God that I heard so much about, and then he turned my life around, so I would suggest that put God first. If you want to see a difference being made, because I didn't make this day, and I can't hold myself accountable for making this day, but I can say somebody made this day. And I used to hear a lot of times that God was able, but I never tried him. And one day I decided to try him, so he delivered me from a drug that controlled my life for most of my life, man. I'm amazed that what you're talking about is that you're looking for solutions. And the only solution that I know really worked for me, and it wasn't like an opinion, this was the truth, because the word says, according to John 8:32, it said that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So I tried God, and he made me free. So I would keep it right there and say, put God's man, and I assure you, brother, you'll find out if he's able or not, because he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So seeking him first would be my ultimate decision that I would suggest that could make a difference, only if one tried it. So that's where I'm at with it. I've been delivering there 29 years, so I do know it worked.
I love it. Love it. Love it. Thank you, Minister Waller, Pastor Waller. So something that he said that was very important and very powerful. He mentioned, he said, adversity is not limited to the poor. Adversity does not discriminate. Adversity can be for if you have finances, if you have money, if you're rich. And adversity can be if you're poor. That's a fantastic point. And he also said that his personal method is, you know, seeking God. That's a very powerful tool. Believing myself, so believing in the Most High, having that contact and having that access with him will give you some strength outside of your own strength. I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
But something I want to dive a little bit deeper into that the adversity not having a it's not picky and choosy. It comes for everybody. So
right.
The reason why I want to focus on that is because as we mentioned earlier, I was giving the definition for adversity. And the definition for adversity, according to the Oxford Dictionary, as a noun, is a difficulty and a misfortune. So it's a difficulty. What kind of difficulty are we talking about? That's vague. We need to know specifically what the difficulty is, because we want to get a blueprint of how we can consistently practice overcoming adversity. And one thing is, and because it's not limited to rich or poor, that means that depending on whatever you're trying to do, adversity can show itself. So, for instance, if you already own $1 million, and I'm not going to go into why you own $1 million or that's not the point at this moment, but if you own $1 million and you're trying to get to $1 billion, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just having $1 million does not automatically qualify you to get to $1 billion, because when you have money, there are ways that your money can be taken away, or there are ways that, you know, your money can be reduced. So that means you have to do something in order to make it turn into that billion. On the road to becoming a billionaire, so to speak, right, there are things that you have to accomplish. You have to gain 999 more million. So how do you do that? Well, there are things that are in your way. I'm not going into how it's done, but the point is there can be difficulties in getting there. So if you have a formula for overcoming that adversity, overcoming difficulties, then you'll be able to take this and apply it to pretty much any kind of adversity you have. So we got to understand that whatever is in our way, there are things that we all can do in order to accomplish these things. So some of the general guidelines that we discussed already was having a connection with the Most High. The other gentleman, he discussed treating your neighbor kindly. I'm summarizing. Treating your neighbor kindly and friendly. He talked about getting an education. He gave us quite a few gems. He gave us quite a few gems. So all of these things, if we apply them, can get to the point where this allows us to overcome our individual adversity. And once again, the number to call in is 657-383-0944. Once again, the number to call in is 657-383-0944. We want a community effort. The point is not for just one person to give us information. We want to gather the information from everybody. And if the information doesn't apply to you personally, then hey, don't use it. But if we are able to all gather something new, or even if it's not necessarily something new, but if it's something that reminds us and puts us back in the direction of all of the steps for us to overcome adversity, we want to use it tonight. We want to take this and we want to apply it to the different communities that we're all a part of. So I see we got Nashville on the line. We also got some members in Chicago that are watching live on the Facebook feed. We got different people that are calling from different places, and they all have individual different pieces of adversity that they all may be individually facing. So get your notes ready, because tonight we are discussing the bones. We are discussing the guidelines. We are discussing the rules of how to overcome adversity. So if I may, and I'll give the floor back over to anybody else who'd like to interject, but if I may, a practice that I meditated on just the other night, a practice that I meditated on is something I had done and have been doing. There's this idea and this concept of seeking discomfort. I'll say it once again. Well, I'll say it again. Seeking discomfort. Why would anybody seek discomfort? What is the point of seeking discomfort? What I mean by seeking discomfort is looking for things that purposely make you uncomfortable. Now, I'm not saying to do that in your entire life. I'm just saying taking the practice or action or practice of doing things that purposely make you uncomfortable. Why would anybody do that? This is why. You already know why. When you go to the military, when they train the soldiers to get ready for combat, they put them in situations that makes them very uncomfortable. Do you know why they do that? The reason they put them in situations is so that they can build the mental fortitude. Building the mental fortitude. Well, guess what? Everybody doesn't have to go to the military to learn how to build mental fortitude. Now, I'm not debating who has the greater program to do so. I'm just letting you know that there are things that you can do in your own time to build mental fortitude. Is that making sense, everybody?
Make a lot of sense, brother.
So, with that being said, I'll give you an example of something that I recently started practicing to build my own mental fortitude. You know, when you get in the shower, when you have a long day from work, or you wake up early in the morning and you're getting ready to go to work, or you just got done working out and you're real sweaty and tired, and you're ready to just take a relaxer and breather, and you're ready to get in that nice warm shower. You realize that warm shower is a comfort for you? You thought it was just a part of your regular routine and there was nothing to it. That shower is a comfort for you. So what I decided to do recently, when I say recently, I mean in the last, let's say, 3 or 4 months, instead of putting the shower on warm, I turned the water up to cold. And at first when I did it, you get the hyperventilating. You get to hyperventilating because your body's not used to it. You've been taking hot showers for as long as you've been living. So when I started doing that cold shower, what I had to do in that shower was I had to tell myself, relax, be still, sit endure. And with that, when I did that, when I started enduring, it started to tell my body, my mind started to talk to my body. So in a situation, now there's no real danger here. So when I say seek discomfort and take practices to seek discomfort, I'm giving you a real life example of what I mean. There's no danger here. Nobody is in any trouble. You know, there's no immediate imminent danger here. So this is something that you can practice that's harm free. I started to talk to my body and tell my body to relax, sit, endure, take it in. And when I did so, you know, over time, as I kept doing them, my body has adjusted to it now. You know, when I turn the water up all the way to cold, well, I usually get it up to the pressure where it's hard enough to push and cold enough that I can still, I try to get it as cold as possible so and still feeling the water pressure so I can take my, you know, shower legitimately. But I've been doing this so long, now when I'm in the shower, I question. I'm like, man, is this water, like, is the water cold or has it gotten warmer? Because my body has adapted to it now. So now my body knows how to adapt to a situation before that was stressful to my body. It was stressful to the body at first. But because I had done it and I had practiced it so long, now I become adjusted to it and it does not bother me any further. So when I say seek discomfort, that's what I mean. Doing push-ups, instead of doing regular push-ups on your hands, do them on your knuckles. When they do it in martial arts, that's mental training. That's mental training. These are some practices that you can use to be able to prep your body physiologically, mind and body, of how to know that when there's something going on that's not comfortable, I can still operate. I can still operate. Even when it doesn't feel comfortable, even when it's not what I'm used to, even when it's something that may be seemingly stressful, I can still operate during pressure. These are some simple practices. This is one of them. These are some simple practices of how you can overcome adversity. And I'll give it back to the floor if anybody has any input. But we're discussing the strategies of how to overcome adversity. You have anything else for Pastor Waller?
Yeah, I would say well said, man. I really enjoyed what you said, and you put it in such a way where, you know, I'm right there where you are with that because I practice, that's what I do, that I'm not comfortable. And in so many areas, you know, number one, it was like, again, when I said that I had to get my life in perspective and I didn't know how to do it, and I knew that I didn't know God, so I didn't pretend like I did. And so it had to become a practice of stepping up with a desire. I had a desire. That's all I had. And I practiced that desire until it came to a point where I got the desire down pat. You know, and that's what I love about what you shared. Even though I was still doing a lot of things that I was doing, but I was expecting those things to change because of my practice, the difference, something that I wasn't comfortable with, you know, being in the atmosphere of people that got their lives together, or I think that they did because they looked and they sound like they did. And so it was interesting, and I love how you really put that, man. I mean, you put it in such a way where you had to get started, you know, and then I was instructed to go to the streets after I got my life together, to make a long story short. And that was very uncomfortable, even though it was a familiar place, but I was going back now, free now. I was in bondage when I was in the streets at first. But when I was sent to go back to tell my friends, then I had to have something different to bring to the table. For example, I once upon a time was weak, and I couldn't break a bad habit. So there wasn't no need of me going out trying to instruct somebody else on how to break a habit when I didn't know how to break it. And then once I was equipped, once he gave me the instruction, then I went out and done the very thing that he wanted me to do, was to go home and tell my friends. I knew that was going to be tough. I really did. I knew that was going to be tough because I am the one who started all my friends on that particular drug, if you will. I wasn't intentional to do it harm, but it did harm to me and them. And so after I got my life together and was given that instruction, man, I didn't have a word. I was just told by the spirit of hearing his voice say, go tell your friends what I've done for you. And I'm like, wow, I started them with that. It's going to be tough. I know that's not going to feel good. So I was uncomfortable, but I got started. Sure enough, a lot of my friends have changed now as a result of doing something uncomfortable, man. So you put that down. And I mean, I embraced that, what you said. One more thing, and I'll turn it back over to you. You know, in the book of Romans, chapter 15, verse 1 says, we then who are strong ought to bear the infirmity of the weak and not to please ourselves. So a lot of times, you know, a person, it's like no compassion. The compassion is big. And that to me was why he gave me the instruction to go out and tell my friends. That was compassion that I had to present to them. And then I found out later on that it actually is in the Word. So after I got strong, go tell the ones that are weak what I've done for you. And even that was awkward for me because I'm like, they may not even believe that because they knew that the things that I had just left, I used to love it. And matter of fact, they may have a hard time believing that I really changed. I encourage you to know that what you're talking about and the way you presented it, it's thumbs up to me, man. I needed to hear that because a lot of times, you know, doing the things that are uncomfortable, man, it's like I don't have to go out there and try to encourage nobody. But I would have to say, where's the compassion, though? You know, he had compassion on you, so why don't you have constantly, continuously ongoing compassion on other people and not try to please yourself? Because you said it earlier, if I don't have no strength, I can't help nobody that's weak. I'm definitely going to help somebody that is weak. But when I go get that strength now, don't pretend like you're still weak. Remember, you were at the point of time was weak. That didn't feel good, but he's made you strong enough to know that you are free now. So go encourage somebody. Have compassion on other people. Don't try to treat yourself. So that was beautiful how you addressed that, man. And to make a difference in our community, that's what it's going to take.
I love it. I love it. And I see you 904. I'm going to give you the floor in a second. We got another caller. Something very powerful you said. You said, don't pretend like you weak after you become strong now, because each one teach one, right? You know, once you get to a benefit, to a point where you are strong enough to help the community and you are able to help others, give that information or give whatever you can, give your helping hand, whatever it may be. That's one of the reasons why I'm having this conversation. A lot of times when we like to kind of remain humble, and there's nothing wrong with remaining humble. We should remain humble. But we also have to understand that whenever we have something that's a benefit of others, it's good for us to share that. So even the information that we are accumulating today, whatever information we got on helping others to overcome adversity, let's accumulate to the conversation. I pretend like we don't know certain things and certain benefits. We've all been through stuff. So let's contribute. And I appreciate that, Pastor Wall. You also said something else that's powerful, but I'll touch on it really quickly and I'm going to get a floor to 904. You said, I don't know if you said it intentionally, but you registered the thought in my mind. You said, move. Okay. You said, move. You said you had to get out of that, what you were in. So I like that, because what that says is when something is happening in your life, when you're going through that adversity, when you know there's a change that's needed to make, take the step.
Yeah.
Don't sit and wait. Actually move. That's very important to get up and to move, because when you get up and you move, it gets you further away from that situation, especially when you know the next step that you need to make. Especially when you know that, and if you're already in touch with the Most High, the Almighty, it gives you better and more confirmation. Looks like we lost that caller. Looks like we lost that caller, but that's okay. The floor is open, everybody. You can call us in at 657-383-0944. I found him again. So I'm going to give the floor to you, 904. 904 with the last four digits, 7718. The floor is open to you. Tell us who you are and give us some bones. Give us some consistent, measurable things that we can do to overcome adversity. You have the floor.
overcoming, you first have to acknowledge that you have something that you want to overcome. That's what I do. Okay, you got to keep it real with yourself and see where you are in order to see where you want to be. And once you do that, then you got to take the small steps in between and plan it out. Well, if I'm here, what I got to do to get there, okay? And my favorite verse that helps me overcome is, you know, Genesis 32 with the story of Jacob wrestling, you know, and receiving that name. And once he understood where he was at, and he understood where he was going to be, he did a small step in between. He said, okay, if you're going to be my God and you're going to be with me and you're going to bring me back to this place, everything that I get, I'm going to give you a 10% of. He made a vow. He made a conscious decision to say, hey, I was nothing. You know, I didn't have a place to be, and that's the 28th chapter. And he didn't have anything to bring me back to this place. And then when he came back to that place, the 32nd chapter happened in his life. Oh, you gave me a name to prevail? Hey, so in order to prevail, you have to be going through something. Can nobody prevail if you haven't experienced anything? So let's not beat ourselves up, and let us understand that in order to prevail, you have to have a circumstance. So when you're going through, understand who is able to bring you up. Look to the hills from where cometh your help. You didn't put breath in your own body. So sometimes we got to humble ourselves all the way down to say, we didn't have anything. And that's what I do.
Love it. Love it. I love it. That's in the beginning. We took an exercise to actually look at what is adversity. And something that you talked about, it relates back to the exercise we did in the beginning. We defined what is adversity, and the definition that we have from the Oxford Dictionary is difficulties and misfortune. So we say, all right, what do we mean by difficulties and misfortune? So whatever you're trying to accomplish, when there's a difficulty that comes in between the road, when there's a misfortune that comes about, that stops us or that slows us down from being able to reach our goal. So whatever that difficulty is, we need to overcome that. So I love that. She said acknowledge. Sometimes we don't even know that we have certain things that we need to overcome. But when we do find out things that we need to overcome, she said take baby steps. And that was one of the things that our caller early also mentioned. Take the required steps. She said don't let it get to you. Take the required steps. And overcome that situation or whatever that personal circumstance that you have that's related to you, whether you're rich or poor, whether it's a poor adversity, whether it's a rich adversity, whether it's a in-between adversity, it does not matter. We need to practice these things for overcoming. So I'm happy to hear from you guys. It's very helpful for our community. Everybody that's on this call, the point of it is for us all to benefit. Everybody that's here listening to this radio station, who's here on this Facebook Live, we're looking to all benefit. What are some of the practices that we can use that allows us to overcome adversity? So I want to go back to what Pastor Wall also mentioned before. Go back to moving. It's important to take action. Now, before you take action, though, you have to assess your situation. You have to assess your situation. You cannot move without knowing what you're currently facing at this moment. Because if you move and you start to make too many sudden decisions, you could be digging yourself in a deeper hole. You could be digging yourself into your own grave and not even know it. So once we understand that we have adversity, I got you. I'm going to give you the floor. Once we understand that we have adversity, we have to look at our situation, look at the plane, look at the field of what's going on. Get in tune with our creator. Get in tune with our source of energy, life, and strength and information. And then gather and draw up your plan and move. Take those steps. It's very important to take those steps. The floor is yours.
I mean, I was just really actually just agreeing with what you said. And it is all about moving. You have to realize, you know, a person that was stuck like in a trap that I was in,
mm-hmm.
and I was unable to see a way out on my own because I kept trying and I was getting nowhere fast. That means it had a strong hold on me. So the only thing I was able to do was to holler for help. And in doing that, it moved. That was my move. And it was in my desire. As I said earlier, that's all I had, which was strong enough. It's just like having faith and I have the answer, but I don't know how to apply it. And once I learned how to apply it was to move. That's the way I was able to apply it. Then I found out years later, you know, that it says faith without works is dead. So as soon as I moved on it, I was able to acknowledge the outcome. And that's the beauty of realizing that it's a lot of people that is in the same arena that I came from that are scuffling as I was. And for me to know that and to withhold good information from them, it would be detrimental to my gratitude and be selfish upon me to not put effort. Okay, I got out. There's a chance that some more can come out. But if I withhold this information, let's just say I'm the only information that's available. And I withhold
Right.
I'm disrespecting the people that are out there crying out like I was. Conversation that's going on, because it is a beautiful thing to put God first. It's my greatest suggestion, because I found out that it worked. And if I just be honest with myself, as I had to learn to know that I was able to say words like this when I was in the trap. I said, I'm going to use drugs the rest of my life. Well, the grip was that tight. It had that type of grip on me, and it made me say that. I mean, it had that type of authority over my life. And then I found out that I just made that one simple move in my desire, which gave me more power than I even thought that I had, you see. And my faith just continued to press on, and I didn't give up. And I came up playing sports anyway, and I remember my coach, how he used to coach us and the way he used to tell us to be ready. And believe me, I was not ready for street life, man. Street life grabbed a hold of me and took me for a ride. But that same instruction that my coach gave me, I utilized it. And I found out what a difference a day would make, and I utilized that moment. Found out again later on that it says in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, that's how fast change can take place, even for the good.
Yes, sir.
And so I have much gratitude for all of that. I really do, man. It's like there's so many hurting people that's dealing with adversity that to have it would be something like, and I'll share this and I'll turn it over back to you. Adversity is a style like being resilient in the face of adversity.
Yes.
That means that I'm going to, I just got to move. I just got to, you know, you didn't see me move, but I actually moved. And I used to tell people, I say, if you look at me right now, I'm standing up. I'm using this for an example. But you didn't see my foot move.
Right.
But I moved, actually. It's just a very small, you couldn't even tell that I moved. But that's how you get started. You know what I mean? And I've been looking at this daily. I walk it daily. I don't skip days with this. My gratitude, oh, no. It's somebody out there right now crying out. Well, I say, how did you do it? Well, I have to be ready to explain to them how I did it, you know, and that's the only requirement for me is to go home and tell my friends what he has done for me. And so I don't tell them what they got to do, but I tell them what worked for me. And that's the field that I'm in, brother. So I do a whole lot of work out here in the streets, and it is uncomfortable. But as I continue, as you were talking about it earlier, about being uncomfortable, doing something uncomfortable, as I continue to do it, then I got used to it. And so it's just a thing now. I just do it naturally. You know, you were talking about the shower, how you was able to tap into utilizing that cold water, man, and you had the shivers for a minute, you know, and then you got your point.
Yeah.
Is this all it is to this cold water? You know, that I'm paraphrasing, but that's the beauty of knowing how you faced it, you know, and I really appreciate how you, you know, you just shaped that up, man. It made a grand of a difference, and I think our communities are hurting on both areas. There was a man that climbed into a tree. It was a man by the name of Zacchaeus. Very wealthy man. The man was filthy rich, man. Man, I'm talking about, I can buy some of everything, but it's one thing he couldn't buy with that money. He just wanted to see Jesus, man, and he saw a crowd of people that was getting ready to experience Jesus coming because he was on his way, and so he just decided to go over there with all the people, and they would not even let him in the circle where they were, man. Could you imagine? Here's a man had a heart to just want to see Jesus. He didn't want to say nothing to him. He just wanted to see him.
He wanted to see him.
Because everybody else was going to see him. Yeah, that was it. So they didn't let him in the circle, so he went and ran up and got into a tree. And as soon as he got to the location, he went straight to the tree where the man was at, because he knew that man had a heart to change his life, even though he was rich. And so he got him to come down, make a long story short. As soon as that man started coming out of that tree, because he didn't know what he was going to say, all he just knew is that Jesus just called his name, you know. And he's looking at the crowd over there. He's not even over there. He's over here where I'm at. When he came down, the first thing he did is that I'll give half of my goods to the poor. You see what kind of heart this man had? He said, I'm going to give half of my goods to the poor. And if there's anybody that I've done anything to, I'll give them four times as much for the false accusations that I've done. That was a beautiful thing to hear. And that's when the man got saved, because Jesus told him today. You know what I mean? In other words, not tomorrow. Today, salvation has come to your house, because he had a heart, man. And he was rich. So that tells me that it's not about whether you just want to be rich and leave somebody else's situation where they're just still poor and down and out. I mean,
right.
Man, passion is big, brother. I love compassion, man. It's big. And if we all had compassion on it, man, life would be so much better. You know? Yeah. I'll get back to you on that note.
Yes, sir. We appreciate that.
I got a question.
Sure.
How would you handle the adversity of what's going on in Afghanistan? You have a group that don't believe in Christian God, Jesus. They have their own God. Then you have another that's got their God. And also, how would you handle the adversity of taking young people and working them through sports, and they have an ambition to become professional, but they fall way, way, way short and have nothing else to fall apart?
Mm-hmm. So both issues.
So would Afghanistan.
We got it. Both things that you're discussing, both have two separate potential issues, right? So you talked about Afghanistan. That's one, depends on who you're referring to, the adversity for who. So if you're the president of Afghanistan, if you're the president of the United States, if you're the president of any of the surrounding countries, et cetera, you have all kinds of issues there. I don't know all of the issues that are there, so therefore I can't give a blueprint of how to overcome the adversity.
Well, it's simple. It's an issue of war. Somebody's trying to kill you.
I understand that kind of thing.
If somebody's trying to kill you, how do you overcome that adversity? You can't pray to God because they don't believe in your God.
Uh-huh. Yeah. We got some more callers on the line as well, and I'm gonna pass it over to them. But
yeah, address them.
Once again, I'm gonna pass it over to the callers, but before I do that, so when you're talking about adversity, right, we're talking about how we can individually get the blueprint, because that's the topic tonight, how we can consistently have the blueprint for our own individual lives of overcoming adversity. So when we're dealing with that, when you're talking about other people who you're involved, that's for the most part for leaders, right? So leaders have the ability to make change. And you can become a leader. So I'm not saying that anybody can't do anything to help situations. But a lot of those situations are in the hands of those who already have that power. So they have their own blueprint that they would have to work through to overcome that issue or solve that issue with war. Now, when we're talking about the communities for our young, for our children in sports and academia, so you have to make some, you may have to make some actual change. You have to make some actual movements in your community in order to get to gain influence to show our young men that there are other options, there are other escapes, there are other routes outside of playing sports. A lot of I personally would say that you have to show them financially. You have to be able to show them men in business. You have to be that role model in business to show them that you can make it out of here without using sports. There are plenty of entrepreneurs out here, especially a lot of young ones now too. There are a lot of entrepreneurs out here, and we're gonna, and I want to tap into that. I'm going to tap into that sometime on another call. But there are a lot of entrepreneurs out here who are showing and making the pathways that there are ways that you can be able to leave your situation without being restricted to just sports. But I'm going to open the floor to 615 with the last four digits, 5235. You have the floor. Tell us who you are and give us some of the blueprints of how you can overcome, consistently overcome adversity.
Okay. Hello. Yeah, I just wanted to get on really quick. I am at a football game, so I'm just going to just wanted to chime in for a second about overcoming. I think one, obviously, it's a list of things that you have to, it's a process, but one thing is keeping your eyes on the goal. Keeping your eyes on the goal, whatever your mission is, seeing that end vision and continuing on. Otherwise, you can get distracted, overwhelmed, and actually taking in everything that's going on around you. So meditating on the vision that you have.
All right, Cobra's holding there. It's going to be first and 10, Cobra.
So that's what I would say.
Love it, love it. Keeping your mind or keeping yourself focused on the goal that you have already set for yourself. We appreciate that feedback. So whatever goal that you place and that you put out there, make sure you're constantly staying in tune with whatever goal you have. Don't get distracted by everything that's going on around you. You have to focus on the steps that you have already placed and put out there so that you can continue to overcome whatever little difficulty may come about. We appreciate that feedback, caller 615. We're going to go back to the phones to caller 904, area code 904. You have the floor.
Okay. I wanted to share with the question you asked about the young people, how can you get them involved? And all they want to do is sports, but they're not really good at sports. You know, I have young people that I deal with and I love dearly. So at least the greatest part about it, at least you know what they already love. So you got to use what they love to teach them. On that football field is something called yards. That's math. So you can tap in and teach them math by using football. And before they know it, they have the joy of learning about math. You know, you can teach them how to read plays. You can learn in so many areas, especially when you find out the joy of that child. And if their joy is whatever kind of sports, that's what you can use. And before long, they're learning and they want to read about plays. Hey, let's not just look at a movie about basketball if you like basketball. Read some books. What made these people great basketball players? And they thinking, oh, I'm looking at something about sports, but they are also learning, okay? So hopefully that answers your question. As far as the wars in other countries, you got to understand that according to the Bible, what the Bible says about wars, you know, from the beginning, God was the king over Israel in the Bible, right? And they kept on asking Samuel for a king and like the other nations around them. And God told Samuel to tell the people, hey, if you ask now for a king, I'm no longer going to be there to fight these wars for you. And once you get in captivity by these other people, this is what they're going to do to your sons and your daughters. And they're going to take you away from me. They're going to marry your daughters, kill your sons, kill the husbands. So once we're dealing with the understanding about this war, and I understand it got way past now from what is going on, it's coming down to the last days where you're going to have rumors of war and war happening. And that's just fulfilling prophecy. Everything, the Bible is one book that has validated every single prophecy that ever happened or was to happen. That is one book that you can go and go down through history lines and see that it came to pass. You cannot take any other book. You can love the Quran, and it's come a time that everybody going to have to hear. Every knee is going to bow. So the time that we have to hear the truth, the time where he said, seek ye first, you know, you use the time that you do know about Christ and elevate your learning, because one day you might meet somebody and want to know, are you able to help? And it goes right back to the topic that we're having. What are we going to do to help? Once you know better, like I tell my children, you do better. We had a preach word a few weeks ago before school started, Leviticus 1:1, one of the ministers had preached, and it was a beautiful preach word because it said, once you see somebody doing something wrong, whether they're cursing, whether they're stealing, if you don't say anything, and this is the Bible, you're going to get the same punishment that that person is getting. So what are you going to do? Run away from it? Evil is all around. It's always present. You walk upright, and you don't have to walk upright all bold, beating your chest. Well, with humbleness, and other people going to see you. And when they see you and they ask you, man, what make you act like that? You tell them about the hope that lies in you, which is our Heavenly Father. You know, that is your opportunity, because somebody going to ask you, what make you not get so upset? What makes you not get worried and stressed out about how you're going to eat tomorrow when it's all these floods all around the world? And right here, I know Waverly, Tennessee, where all those crops, they lost because of the flood waters. Where's your hope? Why are you not worried? So that's all I have to say on that, Shalom.
Well, well said. I really appreciate that. That's awesome.
Well,
I don't.
Go ahead, go ahead.
Yeah, no, go ahead. I'm just.
No, that's wonderful. That's good stuff. So when we're talking when we're talking about consistently overcoming, right? So something that I heard and what she just spoke about was having the right attitude and having the right mentality, you know, when things are happening. So on Tuesday we made the comment, and we even made the comment today. We said that you can't help others unless you are able to help yourself first, right? So what we're essentially, and what we talked about on Tuesday, was not overextending yourself or not overexerting yourself when you don't have the ability to help somebody else out. Because what will happen is you'll bring your drag yourself and you'll drag them both into a pit hole. So if you're not qualified, so to speak, to help people in certain manners, then don't put yourself in that position, because if you do so, you're going to destroy yourself as well as them. If the blind lead the blind, then everybody shall all fall into a ditch. So the point is, we're talking about overcoming, right? The reason why we're having a group conversation about it, we're having this group conversation so that we can get great feedback, proper information that we can all take and we can all apply depending on whatever issues that we currently have, whatever issues that we see, whatever issues that we face. Because she mentioned it, there's never a shortage of issues. There's never a shortage of problems. There's never a shortage of circumstances. There's always something happening at this very moment. Right now, and I hate to get gloomy, but right now at this very moment, somebody is being trafficked right now. Somebody is in the middle of a fight that they shouldn't be in. At this moment, somebody is at war. At this moment, there's somebody losing their life. There's never a shortage of issues and problems in this world. You're not going to find a shortage of issues. But what we can do is we can build the strength up. What we can do is we can add and contribute to each other so that we can, as a whole, take this information down and apply it so that we can overcome the adversity and the things that are happening in our lives and get the strength to be able to overcome adversities that may be happening in other places as well. So, with that being said, I want to bring something else to the table. And by the way, if you're listening on, call us in. We want to hear from you. 657-383-0944. My name is Ben Shelton. I am your host tonight for Talk Straight. Pastor Dockery is taking a break, and he allowed me to come in and be able to introduce myself to the audience and to be able to have this open conversation. So I'm grateful to hear from everybody who is being contributing. Once again, call in at 657-383-0944. That's the number if you want to call in. I'd be happy to put you on the line so that you can speak your piece and contribute to the conversation, because as a community, this is what we're here to do. We're here to help each other. We're able, at this particular moment, we're giving pieces to add on to how we can overcome. And we can have other dialogues as well about different things and different topics, but at this very moment, we're discussing the bones. We're discussing the structure. We're discussing methods and practices that we can all use, that you personally use. Give us something that you personally use to practice overcoming adversity. In the meantime, while I'm waiting for you guys to call in, if anybody else is looking to call in, I'm going to throw this back out before I give it to the floor. A lot of times, and we discussed this on Tuesday as well, a lot of times adversity is based on our perspective. I'll say it again. A lot of times adversity is based on our perspective. So what do I mean by that? Everybody has a lifespan, and through their lifespan, there are things that you have to do. So for instance, when you're a baby, you got to learn how to walk. If you don't learn how to walk, you're going to face a lot of challenges in life. There's going to be a lot of things that are limiting you in life if you never learn how to walk. So for babies, they have to overcome the adversity of learning how to walk. You notice they fall a lot when they're learning how to walk, right? They crawl and they crawl and they try to climb up on things, and then they fall down. But just like a baby, that's what we need to have, the mentality that we're going to overcome, and we're going to stand up. We're going to get back up, and we're going to continue to walk, because we can't allow these circumstances to dictate our future. So the practice of walking, right? They don't know how to walk, but they got to learn how to walk. So that means they have to practice. They have to practice until they're able to walk. So with us in our lives, we may not know how to get to that ultimate destination yet, but we wrote down some things. We had an idea, and we got to practice those ideas. And if you're staying in touch with the Most High and your source of power and life and information that can provide you extra tools, you practice those ideas that you got, and you keep practicing them until you overcome those adversities, whatever the situation may be. So for a baby, now I'm not a neuroscientist or anything like that, and I'm not necessarily a psychologist, so I can't say everything that's happening in the baby's mind. But for a baby, it's just a matter of getting to wherever they're trying to go. So when we're talking about perspective, right, in order to get a degree, you have to go through college. You're not getting a degree without going through college. Some people may consider that adversity. Some people just consider that that's the process. So depending on how you look at it, if you view college as adversity, then you can make it harder on yourself. Now, I'm not saying situations and circumstances aren't going to happen while you're in college. I'm a witness. I know they do. That's not the point. The point is, it's a matter of how you look at it. And if you look at it, and if you perceive it not to be so hard, well, guess what? When you perceive it not to be so hard, you're telling your body something. You're telling your mind something as well, that you can do it. Oh, it's not hard. I can do it. Things that you know you can do, you don't view those things as hard. Or you don't view those things as hard as other things. Because in your mind, oh, I already can do it, so it's not that hard. Usually things that we consider are hard are things that we know that we can't do, or that we've tried to do before, we failed before in times past, or it was very, very difficult to get to that point. But the more you do something, the better you get at it. And the better you get at it, the easier it is to do. And now you don't even view it. You don't even perceive it as adversity anymore. You don't perceive it as adversity anymore because you've practiced it and you've accomplished it now. You've overcome it. And because you've overcome it, you don't even perceive it as adversity anymore. So what's the point? The point of mentioning this is when you practice whatever you're currently viewing as adversity, once you keep at it, you keep at it. If you got to readjust, readjust. But once you do so, once you complete it, now you don't even view it as adversity anymore. So what trick can we use from that? The trick that we can use from it is even before we complete the task, don't perceive it. Don't perceive it. Now, I know this may be hard to do initially, but don't tell yourself it's hard to do. Practice it. Tell yourself it's you can do it. Don't perceive it as adversity. When you don't perceive it as adversity, but you look at it objectively now, right? What I mean by objectively, what I mean is just look at all of the steps, the requirements, the instructions, right? Looking at the instructions, if you look at it for just instructions but not adversity, now you're able to view it and say, oh, these are just instructions in order for me to do what I got to do. And now you're able to overcome it easier because you're looking at it as instructions and you're not looking at it as this difficult thing that I have to overcome. This is the way that you can mentally talk to yourself and coach yourself through overcoming adversity, is perceiving it as not being such adversity. Now, I'm not saying situations and circumstances aren't going to happen, because we know that's going to happen. We know things don't always work out how we plan for it to work. That's okay, and that's fine, because our will is not always the perfect will. So everything is not going to happen how we want it to happen all the time. And sometimes it was meant to happen that way. So I said that to say, don't perceive it as being so hard. And when you don't perceive it as being so hard, when you practice and tell yourself, oh, I can do it, this is easy. The same thing we tell our children, you can do it, you can do it. Well, tell yourself that. You can do it, you can do it. I don't care how old you are, you can do it. And when you do that, now you're tricking. You're programming your body. You're programming your body to be able to do it with more ease. Because now you've told yourself that you can do it, and when you go to do it, when you practice it, it's not so hard for you. It's not as hard as it would be if you keep telling yourself it is hard. I'm going to leave the floor back open to you. 657-383-0944. That is the number to call in. We are discussing tonight the consistent methods that we can practice and use to overcome adversity. I've already laid out quite a few of them, and we've got some pretty good stuff from the people who are calling in. But we'd like to hear from all of you guys. Call in at 657-383-0944. We are practicing tonight how we can consistently overcome adversity. Just Tuesday, we gave examples of how we personally overcame adversity. But tonight, we're going to give the consistent blueprint so that we can use these things and so that we can consistently overcome adversity. Anybody on the line have anything to contribute to that? Or any thoughts on what was just spoken on?
It's a continuation. I love the process of going through the ongoing, nonstop seeking and finding ways and means to get better at things. You said earlier about how to endure hardship. That's the being. And the lady said earlier, you know, after the conversation was going about she was at a football game. And didn't say anything about it, but that's part of life. And guess where it's located? Sports is in the Bible. And that's what I love about sports, is that God is so knowledgeable about how to reach certain individuals that he will give a simple instruction. And that's what I love about instructions. When you follow the instruction that has been given to you, it becomes personal. And then it won't be like, okay, God, no, I can't do this because in existence. But if God gave you the instruction and you followed it to the best of your ability, then you're doing your part. Now, where am I going with this? I say the word says, according to Corinthians, Paul even said it. He says, in a race, all run, but only one win the prize. So run that you may obtain it. Now, that's in the Bible. That's sport.
Yes, sir.
And so
yes,
sport
sir.
Is good for people who may not never end up going to the pros. I'm a witness to that right now. I didn't go to the pros. Anything away from knowing that sports was a part of my come up. And then it came back around full circle because he brought it back into my remembrance after years of being in destruction in the street life and things like that. So the joy is that I heard her say she was at the football game, but you can learn plays, you can learn yards, you can learn how to count, you can learn how to do a lot of things through sports. There are some people that have went through sports, have been great in life, man. They've been doing great things, and the beauty of it is they probably didn't go in there expecting to do anything like that. Then again, some of them could have. But what I love about life, you have to have individuals doing what works for you. If you put God first, it's the main thing, and then you follow his instructions, and then he says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. So if anything's going to be good, it has to fall up under God's order. And that, to me, was a blessing to even think that he would allow me to even desire him, you know. It's like, okay, well, when I was out in the streets, I didn't call on God and say nothing about how good he was. I didn't do that. But if I deny him today, that would be danger for me, you know. So I can't say, well, God, you didn't allow sports to be a part of your kingdom when it's in the Bible, you see. And so we got to learn to understand that it's okay for you to find something that works for you. And if it's not God, because I heard earlier in the conversation that about a war, about, you know, what about those who don't believe in God? That's not for a person to try to force them to believe in God. It's just that they don't believe in God. You can't knock them for that. I would not put somebody down because they don't believe in God. But I wrote a book. And in my book, it says some get there sooner than others. See, they may not believe in him right. You know, they don't mean they'll never believe in him. So I wouldn't dare put nobody down because they don't believe in God. At least they're honest. But I wouldn't pretend like I believe in him if I didn't. I'd just say, I don't believe in God. And that's just the way it is. And that sums it up. But don't strip somebody else from believing in God. God gave them an instruction. And so that's what I don't do. I make sure when I'm in the streets, and people that don't really believe in God, I do not try to force them into believing. I just have to continue to press on because it is, again, and I'll turn it back over to you, it is, again, uncomfortable because I know a lot of people in the street don't believe in God, you know, by their actions. And that's not their fault because they don't believe in God. It's just that that's where they are right now. But that's changeable. Remember, that's changeable because I was like that myself. My actions proved to me that I didn't believe in God, but that changed. And God did not put me down because I didn't pretend like I knew him. God knew I didn't know nothing about him, so why would I pretend? I was doing my own thing, lost, caught up out in the world without God in my life. But one day, I got a chance to get to know him because they say God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so he got me free and said, go tell somebody what I've done for you and make sure you go try to help these people with their basketball. And I've been doing that, man. And so it's been a blessing. And I've watched, you know, the lives change, and it's just been interesting, man. It's a beautiful thing to know that God is a big God. He can reach you wherever you are and whatever you desire to do in life. He knows exactly what an individual can do. But I have to say I had to stay in my lane in order to get what it had in store for me. To desire him more, to practice every day, because it is uncomfortable. I like how you put that, uncomfortable, but it can become comfortable in time, and that's the way it is. So I'm okay with the instruction that he gave me. I'm glad I followed him. That's the thing. I yield back to you on that note.
Yes, sir. Thank you. We appreciate that. Very powerful something that he said, and I got a couple callers on the line. Very powerful that he said is that depending on whatever kind of situation that you're in and depending on whatever you're involved in, you can learn and you can get practice anywhere of overcoming adversity. We talk about even in sports. I don't want to go into detail about it, but because we want to give some examples, right? But when you're talking about overcoming adversity, sports can teach you many life lessons about losing. It can teach you about hard work, dedication, discipline. Right. There's all kind of things that you can learn in the process of sports. So that's a good example that no matter what your situation is, you'll learn about, you know, you can learn about overcoming adversity for sure, because there are practices in it that give you that, or there are moments in those industries or things or events that you're a part of that gives you the practice, or that gives you the ability to practice overcoming adversity. I want to go to the floor. I love it. 615, last four digits, 5235. You have the floor. You have the floor. In the meantime, I'm going to slide right back over to 904-7718. You have the floor.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. I want to say the last gentleman that he was speaking, one thing that I love that just keep on ringing in my ear is staying in your own lane. And I thought it was, you know, very beautiful. And it was something that Christ said when he walked the earth, when they accused the woman. He, without sin, cast the first stone, you know. And at the end of the day, when we look at Matthew 5:45, it says that ye may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. For this reason, for he maketh his sun, this is the S-U-N, to rise evil and on the good. This is his sun that he created. And he sendeth rain, R-A-I-N, on the just as well as the unjust. So who are you to say who believe and who shouldn't believe? What you going to do with what you have and what you get exposed to? You know? And once we start working on taking the beam out of our own eye and understanding that, hey, once upon a time, Naomi's beam in her eye was so huge. And guess what? The more I get humble, the more I eat at the table and be grateful to being at the table to eat at my Father's table, and I'm not alone in the world without hope anymore, but I know where the hope lies in me, things are going to start turning around, because the topic here, you know, it deals with something as a human we all have to deal with, adversary. When you come in, you have different things you deal with. You know, the adversity that we go through, you know, the devil, he is doing his job. So we can get consumed and start accusing ourselves or being accusers of others. Some people might have something going on mentally. Somebody might be emotionally going through something. Some of us might just have it socially, spiritually, financially. Whatever it is one that has experienced it all, and that is Christ. No temptation. And we're here on this line, and whether you want to believe in him, the Bible said try him. You know, we don't try so many things in life. None of us would be up walking on these two legs because we didn't came out the womb walking if we didn't try to walk. Somebody was doing something that taught us how to stand up. Something we wanted so bad enough that made us figure out how to balance these 10 toes underneath us. And Ben, you said something earlier that was beautiful. We tell our children all the time, yes, you can. You can do it. Don't say no. Keep trying. And we have to be that positive person in our life. I think one thing I love is I can stop right there, do all things through Christ. You don't wake up and just have a relationship with Christ. You got to kind of know who you are to have that faith to believe in something you cannot see. Many people go to school for degrees. You didn't see the work that you was going to get when you went to college, but you know what you wanted at the end. So as that schoolwork came in front of you, you stayed up late nights, a little upset sometimes, or we might be at a job where our boss is a piece of crap. We don't say, hey, we're not coming back no more because those bills got to be paid.
Yep.
So, like, everything else that you do that you want bad enough, you're going to make a way. The old people used to say anything that little girl or boy want to do bad enough, they're going to find a way. Keep an eye on that little child, whether it is they want to smoke a cigarette or run a track race, whatever you want to do, you're going to find a way. And as we grow, at least somebody was holding us accountable when we were young, our parents, okay? And we hold these young people accountable. But accountability starts with self. When you going to hold yourself accountable? Shalom.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Love it. Love it, love it. Powerful stuff. Powerful stuff. Guys, give us a call, 657-383-0944. We're coming towards the end of the show. We have 29 minutes left. It's gone by so quick. It's been amazing. You know, I'm growing from the conversation. This is a community effort to be able to give us information that we can use, that we could consistently practice to overcome adversity. And Naomi, she mentioned that, you know, once you're a child, if you want it, if you desire it bad enough, then you're going to do it. If you desire something bad enough, you're going to do it. See, a lot of times as adults, we get distracted from what we originally desire. But part of understanding why you're here is going to give you an extra boost, as they mentioned on Tuesday, your purpose, right? Knowing what you were designed and what you were destined to do. Once you know what that is, you won't allow anything to remove you from it. You won't allow anything to take you off the track from it. So when you are going through things, that's just a bump in the road. That's just a blip because I know ultimately where my end goal is. And that little adversity, if I perceive it as not being so much of it as adversity, if I just perceive it as a little bit of bump in the road, just a little bit of the math equation, oh, this is what I got to do, 1 + 1 = 2. That's all I need. That's all I need to do, objectively look at it, figure out the equation, and do it. These are things that we are using. These are things that we can use collectively. This is information that we're sharing that we can practice in our personal lives, in our day-to-day lives, of how we can overcome adversity, whatever that adversity may look like, whatever shape, form, or fashion may be for you in your life. Once again, the line is open, 657-383-0944. That number is 657-383-0944. This is Talk Straight. You're listening to Ben Shelton. I am your host for the night. So, let's dive back into that, to what Pastor Waller and Sister Naomi were talking about. We can't deviate from whatever it is that we decided for ourselves. And we have to practice making ourselves uncomfortable at times. We have to get comfortable in being in the uncomfortable situations. Because they say comfort is the enemy of progress. There's a saying that says that comfort is the enemy of progress. So a lot of times when we get comfortable, we don't progress. We plateau. Meaning that we reach a certain point and that's it. That's all we good for. That's as far as we can go. The only way you're going to get out of that is becoming uncomfortable. And the only reason that's going to give you motivation to keep being uncomfortable is knowing where you're trying to get to. Knowing what your end goal is. And when you know what your end goal is, you don't mind being uncomfortable for a little bit. You don't mind that temporary sacrifice because that's all you're doing. You're just sacrificing just for a little bit. It's really not that bad. It's not that long. It don't take that much out of you. It's not the end of the world for you. So you don't mind that sacrifice. And when you don't mind that sacrifice, now you're able to get to your goal even further and even faster. You're able to get to your goal faster than what you would have traditionally if you was always worrying about, oh, man, what's going to happen? I know I got to do that. Oh, you're going to, mentally, you're taxing yourself. You are putting pressure on yourself when you're talking about how difficult something is before you even do it. They call it imposter syndrome. You're tricking yourself into believing something is going to be harder than what it really is than if you were actually just to practice it. Don't do that to yourself. Don't sabotage yourself. Practice being uncomfortable so that you know physiologically, meaning mind and body, working, operating together. You know physiologically, oh, I can overcome anything. Nothing is too hard for me because I've practiced being in uncomfortable situations and I've made it out on the other side because I have practiced doing this, because I have experience doing this. I already know that I can achieve whatever it is that we're trying to get to, that little adversity, that little bump in the road, that little discomfort, that misfortunate event, that difficulty, whatever that thing is, I already have practice knowing that I can overcome those things. I already have practice knowing that that won't actually stop me. That won't actually destroy me. That won't actually kill me. That's not the end of the road. Doing those things builds your muscles. We're going to call them adversity muscles. I'm coining a phrase right now. Your trial muscles, your testimony strength, right? All of these things are necessary. And once we build these things, we talked about it earlier. Now we can take it back out to the community. Pastor Wallace said it. We can take these things back out to the community and we can show somebody else. We can help somebody else. Because that's the point of this conversation. The point of this conversation is taking these tools that we all discussing together so that we can apply them in our life, so that we can apply them in our individual lives of how we can consistently practice overcoming adversity. 657-383-0944. If you'd like to call in, we welcome you. We welcome you to call in so that we can add and contribute to the conversation. This is a community effort. 657-383-0944. That number is 657-383-0944. This is Talk Straight. I am your host, Ben Shelton, for the night. I'm going to open it back up to the floor.
All right, Brother Ben, you put emphasis on practicing, man. And I just love how you put emphasis on that, because that's what makes dealing with difficulties so worth giving it a try. It's just that it doesn't go the way that you want it to go sometimes, and that's something that I've dealt with a lot. But the thought of giving up is the temptation of it, and that could fit in the realm of, I know that it can make a difference, so do I give up? Do I stay with being able to handle knowing that you got something here that actually would do some good? So don't let the attack of the enemy, because he's supposed to attack.
Yes.
You know? And
it's
that's what I love, what you were talking about practicing, you know, practicing how to realize that the enemy got his role to play too now, when he's supposed to attack, to make you think that you cannot accomplish that moment of clarity, you know, and it's just that moment, just that moment that you're about to give up. I'm talking about me. Now I can see that, and then I can understand the power of pressing on, and that's where the practice come in at. So that's beautifully laid out, and I thank you for making that known, how important it is, because it all boiled down to, if I don't know how to do something, and I get started on it, and I learn from it, that sounds like to me that I had to practice to get to that point. And the Word talks about that. You know, he says, now listen, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. So I had to take that and say, it's learning time for me. I don't know how to do it, but I'm getting ready to put effort because I have a strong desire, you know. In other words, you help somebody. I don't know how to do it, but because I've been a failure. You talked earlier about the ditch. about the blind leading the blind. I knew that I was a terrible example for my community once upon a time, but it wasn't intentionally. And God knew it wasn't intentionally, so he understood that I had gotten captured, and I was the leader. And everybody that was following me, filling in the ditch with me, you know. So I understand now, you know, why he selected me and pulled me out of it and then restored my way of thinking and then sent me back out there to the people. I understand it now, but not at first. I didn't understand that because it was not comfortable. And so
right.
I stopped practicing how to deal with it. And one day I discovered, and I'm going to have to turn it back over to you again, when the word says, let your light so shine before men that they would see your good work and glorify your Father in heaven. That was amazing to me because now I went from doing a terrible work for the enemy, for the devil, and I displayed everything that he had me doing with no shame at all. And then suddenly I discovered, man, I was a terrible example. Look what the enemy did to me and through me. But suddenly, God seen the good that he can get out of me and selected me. So I understand how uncomfortable that was with me. And then I found out, okay, now you're doing some good work. So let your light so shine. All the time you don't have to say nothing, but let it shine. So in case someone come up and ask you, then you have a right to share with them. That's a practice. That's awesome. I love how you address that. Very unique. I yield back to you on that note.
Okay. Appreciate that. We appreciate that. Every time you guys say something, I always get something from it. This is why these conversations are important, because we can learn from each other, right? He said, he discussed quitting. And we don't have enough time tonight because we only got pretty much 17 more minutes left. But there's a lot of reasons why people quit. And one of them I want to touch on is something we've already been talking about already. See, quitting is comfortable for you. I'm going to quote Grant Cardone right here. If you don't know who Grant Cardone is, he's a real estate mogul, one of the popular guys. He just came up really within the last 10 years. He became really famous for, you know, pretty much his tactics and achieving different things. He said, don't go, you know the term go big or go home? He said, don't go big, don't go home. Go big or go home. Don't go home. He said, go big or go bigger. The reason why you go bigger is because he said if you go home, that's where you're getting your butt kicked at. You already losing at home.
Right, right.
So we quit because it's comfortable. We go home. We go back to our base. We go back to what we're familiar with. We go back to what we've already seen before. That's our comfort zone. So we go back there. Don't go there because you were losing there. Now, I'm not saying that there's anything inherently evil or wrong with you, but what I'm saying is you have the option and you have the ability, and it's going to be glorious for you if you leave home, leave that comfort zone, go further than what you were able to go. Because when you leave that comfort, your muscles are growing. You're getting strengthened. You're not in that fetal position anymore. You're able to spread your chest out. You're able to actually take action on what you need to do, but you got to know why you're doing it. See, a lot of times we don't have any reason behind why we're doing what we're doing. And when you don't have any reason for it, when you don't have your why, as we spoke on Tuesday, when you don't have your why for everything that you're doing, you'll always go back because you don't have a purpose out here. You're a zombie. Sorry if I'm a little too candid, but you're a zombie. You don't have a purpose. You're not serving it. You're not serving. You're just a cog. You're a piece of the machine. You have to be something bigger than that. You have to understand why you're doing what you're doing. And when you do that, when you know why you're doing what you're doing, when you know what your desired outcome is, and you've attached yourself to that, it's going to force you to get out of your comfort zone. And you're going to be happy to get out of your comfort zone. And not only will you be happy to get out of your comfort zone, you change your perspective along the route. You change your thinking about the actions that you need to take. You look at these things objectively rather than taking it personal. Don't take everything personal. We mentioned that on Tuesday. Don't take it personal. It's not that it wants to destroy you because it doesn't like you. If somebody else was doing the same thing you were doing, guess what? The actions are going to come upon them as well. It's not kin to you. It's kin to that walk that you have to take. It's kin to that motion, that movement. It's kin to that desired outcome that you're looking at. It's kin to that path that you're walking on. Those things are going to happen to those people that are walking on those paths. Hope I'm making sense to somebody.
Yeah, you are.
So when we're talking about consistently overcoming adversity, these are all things that we have been discussing. These are all topics that we have been touching on through the night. Call us in if you want to get one last remark in, 657-383-0944. We've had Sister Naomi, and we've also had Pastor Walla, who's been great contributors to the conversation. So we want to thank you guys for being on here. We want to thank you guys for your mouthpiece. We want to thank you guys for speaking about what you know and how you are able to consistently practice overcoming adversity. This is a group effort. This is a community effort. This is a community effort that's aimed to give us all the blueprint. That's aimed to give us all pieces that we can all use so that we can practice consistently overcoming adversity. I'll give it back to the floor.
I want to say the adversary is doing his job, you know, but we got to reach the point. Some people already know what they want to do, and I commend you guys. You guys helped the ones who started late, the late bloomers. You know, I know in my life I used to say all my life I had to fight. But forget all your life you had to fight and turn it around and say, all my life I am sick and tired of being sick and tired. Now that you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, it's human nature for you to push, to fight, but fight a good fight. Don't just be out there fighting, giving your all to nothing. You can't reap the harvest.
Because
love it. The Bible said, you know, you know, don't be mocked. Don't be in vain. Don't let nothing deceive you. Whatsoever a man soweth, that so also shall he reap. You know, it's a harvest. It's real. The harvest is real. Whatever you do in your life, that's a harvest. And the next verse said, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap. This is vanity. Solomon said it. But he that soweth to the Spirit, tap into faith, believe in God. Abraham believed in God. He didn't see the great nation. He didn't see that, hey, he was going to be a father of many nations. You can look at the Muslims. You can look at the Hindus. You can look at Christianity. They all believe in Abraham. But when you sow of the Spirit, you shall have, you will reap of the Spirit life everlasting. You know, and then it say, and let us not be weary. Don't give up. Don't say I'm sick and tired and I'm just going to give up. Do not give up. Because if somebody looking at you, whether you know it or not, somebody, you are inspiring. You were not put on this earth for yourself, by yourself. You met others here, and it's others leaving at a quicker rate than others because of what they're reaping. And in due season you shall reap if we faint not. So, again, you cannot give up. And that's Galatians, the 6th chapter, verses 7 and 9. So I just wanted to say, sometimes you got to get to the point where I'm just sick and tired of being sick and tired. Now that I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired, that's when you prevail. That's when you can have a vision. So sometimes you got to get down all the way to gravity, and gravity got to feel like it's winning until you got to remind yourself, I can stand up. I got power over gravity. Shalom.
Love it. Love it. She hit on something. So whatever you sow, that you'll also reap. If you're on this call, and if you're listening live on Facebook, if you're listening on the air to Blog Talk Radio, 657-383-0944, call in. If you're listening, you're doing yourself a favor. Because what we're doing is we're putting things in our mind that's going to allow us to reap the benefits. And what benefit are we looking to do? We're looking to overcome adversity tonight. We're looking for consistent, measurable tools that we can put in our own toolbox to overcome adversity. There's a lot of junk in the world. There's a lot of stuff that you could be watching right now. There's a lot of information that you could be consuming right now. Not all of that information that you're consuming is profitable. So when we're talking about sowing and reaping, we're here to discuss the information that's allowing us to reap the benefits. The benefits of overcoming adversity. It depends on whatever we're personally going through, or whatever we're looking to establish or accomplish. That's what methods we're going to use to be able to consistently receive these results. Somebody said living with good intentions. Living with good intentions. That means that everything that you're doing is benefiting or adding up to a good outcome. When I say a good outcome, that's a little vague, but when we're talking about living with good intentions, that means that we want to do things that are right and that are righteous to people, not trying to be a scammer, not trying to be conniving, not trying to do things that are taken away from people, but adding to people, adding value to people, adding value to yourself, not diminishing from ourselves, but adding to ourselves. That's why these conversations are necessary, so that we can continue to add to ourselves over the years, and that way when we look up, when we look back, we'll see how much we accomplished. Tuesday, we discussed this. And I'll bring this again because we're talking about methods again. When I was a teenager, I would walk with my eyes closed. When I was walking home, I wanted to make it on that trip. I wanted to get home. I didn't want to think about, oh, it's going to take forever. You know, I got to walk a mile home. I don't want to mentally think about the drain of having to walk them out. I mean, you can call it lazy. It is what it is. That's okay. But I implemented a strategy to make it easier for myself. So what I did was I closed my eyes, and I will walk for 15, 20 seconds straight, 30 seconds straight. Keep my eyes closed the entire time. And I knew it kept on my mind, I'm going to walk, and I'm going to keep walking straight until I get to that path. And then when I would look up and I would turn around, I would look back and say, see how much I've accomplished. I would go, wow, I went far. All right, now I'm a little more motivated to do it again. Now I would close my eyes, walk, open my eyes, look up. Wow, I've gone far. Wow, now I'm more motivated to continue to go through with the process. Whereas before, when I had my eyes open and I was looking and thinking about how long it was. But because I implemented the strategy, I made it easier for myself to overcome my minimal. This isn't major adversity, but my minimal adversity of making it to my house. So these are just methods I'm just throwing out there. I'm letting you guys know that we can implement in our lives. Focus on whatever the task we have to focus on, rather than looking at the completed outcome the entire time. Look at the steps in between. Don't just look at the outcome. Look at the outcome and you look at the steps in between. You need to look at the outcome just as a reminder, but then bring your head back down to the steps so that you can make it out to the outcome. We have a call on the line, 615-1635. Give us your insight. We're talking about how to consistently overcome adversity. We talked a lot tonight, but we want to hear from you. You have the floor. Tell us who you are.
My name is Rayshawn. I'm from out Nashville. And we're talking about adversity.
We're talking about how to consistently overcome adversities. What are some of the the methods that you have practiced or that you practice to consistently overcome adversity. We have 5 minutes left on the call, but you got the floor.
Some things that I would say that I do to overcome adversity are to not put my feelings or not put my emotions over my mind, because my mind has to be stronger than my emotions, because some things and at some times I don't feel like doing certain things. Like, it might be certain situations where it's like, this particular situation don't feel good. But knowing that if I keep on going, or if I don't give up, it'll help me in the end, like, being strong and courageous. Like, and especially, like, fear. Like, people fear failing, but, like, when you don't have that fear of failing, it'll help you actually find out who you really are. Because if you don't try, you never know what you're really capable of. Because that's one of the things why people don't go for their dreams, go for their aspirations. Because it might be because they scared of, oh, I might fail, or they scared of the next person. And that's another thing, not worrying about what the next person say about what you got going on, because at the end of the day, if they're not there to help you, they really don't matter. And really, you can also use that as motivation. Motivation is, okay, y'all think I can't do it, so now I'm going to try 10 times harder just because y'all said I can't do it. So there's just a few things that I'll say that I practice in order to...
Oh, yeah, boy. You said a lot.
Love it. We appreciate it. I'm going to highlight something really quickly, and I'm going to give you guys the floor, everybody, a minute, basically 30 seconds apiece, because we're coming down to an end. We're crunching down to an end. I want to give you guys a chance to recap. He said that getting out of his feelings, removing his feelings from the equation. Don't take your feelings over what you have to do. Remove your feelings and do that task, even if you got to be like a robot for a second. That's okay. Remove the feelings out of the situation and look at it logically, and look at the desired outcome of what you need rather than what you feel at this moment. That temporary satisfaction. Pastor Wally, do you want to bless us with anything before we go? We got 2 minutes left.
Actually, I just want to say I'm thankful for the conversation. You did a great job, and just be encouraged, because we serve a mighty good God, and he's willing and able to help us through it all.
We appreciate that. Naomi?
Beautiful. Y'all helped me grow. You know, this little session, these 2 days out of the week, man, I love it. You know, so, hey, we moving up level. So I appreciate everybody. I love listening. I love the energy. We all here for one purpose. And, hey, y'all keep on saying, get out your feelings. Don't take it personal. That's what it's about. We're going to reach somewhere. So shalom to everybody.
Appreciate that. Rashawn, you have anything that you want to add before we leave?
Just all praise to the Most High God for giving us the strength to be able to overcome adversity and to not look at what other people got going on and comparing ourselves with them, but being who we truly are.
Love it. Thank you, guys. It has been a pleasure. My name is Ben Shelton. I have been your host, excuse me, tonight for Talk Straight. Reverend Reuben Dockery gave me the opportunity to host this. Maybe in the future, may do a little bit more of this. I appreciate you guys for having me. I appreciate you guys for contributing to the conversation. Hopefully we were all able to take away, and I'll just run over some things really, really quickly again, just some of the things we talked about. We talked about removing our feelings out of the equation. Don't take it personal. We talked about looking at these things objectively that we have to overcome, looking at the situations. We talked about practicing discomfort, practicing putting yourself in uncomfortable situations so that we can build our adversity muscles. We talked about having our purpose and having our goals. We talked about all of these things. They all add up to ways that we can consistently overcome adversity. Thank you, guys. Love you, guys. Peaceful night. Shalom. Y'all bless you.
up the good work.
Thank you, Pastor.
Yes, sir.